Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Guilty Movie Pleasures. In-depth discussion on movies, no matter how guilty they make you feel.
Better as I start talking! What's up, Guilty Movie Pleasure fans? Back here for another episode. We were on a little bit of a hiatus. We came back last
week. Super long hiatus.
Unfortunately, my co-host Ben Begley was not here last week. He was in an audition for Bones that he did not book.
Yes.
But that's okay.
I'm retweeting right now, guys.
Yeah, it's good, good. I'm Josh McCuga. You guys know me at Josh McCuga on Twitter, my show Between the Sheets. To my left, you guys know him as one of the stars of last night's premiere of Supergirl.
Woo! Yes. And by star, you mean, what was that? Man? I missed him.
Also the star of an upcoming feature film called Funhouse Massacre. Yes. And the star of Hallmark's Love? It's me, Ben.
That's exactly it.
Love and his new me, Twitter handle, The Ben Begley. Ben, yes, yes. good to have you back, buddy.
We love you. Good to be back.
And to Ben's left, we have a very, very special guest. You guys know her as the Queen of Horror and Blood, the House of Blood. She runs the Blood Cast. She loves blood and everything horror.
I told
horror.
You, he gives you the weirdest intros.
She one time saw stalking North Hollywood with a machete and a hockey mask. Ladies and gentlemen, Clark Wolf!
Oh, what an introduction. Thank you.
Clark, where can all the beautiful people find you?
They can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Periscope at Clark Wolf.
Clark with an E.
And Wolf with an E. Yep. Yes, sir. Thank you.
I got it. I figured out the Twitter debacle.
And, oh, good, good. I saw a retweet. And you have multiple podcasts and vlogs and all
so
that.
So the Bloodcast we're done with, okay. But that was a lot of fun to do. And you can actually still listen. That's okay.
I just love the name of that.
It is. Bloodcast is a great podcast name.
How long did the Bloodcast go on?
I was on the Bloodcast for a year and a half.
Nice.
Yeah. And Ryan Turek, who's now the development director at Blumhouse, he was on the Bloodcast for a little while before me, but then I came on and became his co-host.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so I'm on, what am I doing? Vlogging, yeah. And vlogging on YouTube, youtube.com/officialclarkwolf. Uh-huh. And speaking of Supergirl,
yeah. Yeah.
I am one All of right. the panelists on the Collider video Supergirl after show.
Yeah, and you guys did your first episode last night.
We did, and we hit like 10,000 views like overnight.
Beautiful.
And I was really excited.
What was the majority of fan response has been to Supergirl?
Well, you know, I don't know.
Not to get off track.
Sure, well, no, I no. think the co- I wouldn't go by the Collider video comment board.
You mean the troll comment board, which is what always happens?
I didn't say that, but...
I did.
You know, all the girls at the table, we all really enjoyed the show, and we all enjoyed the show for very different reasons, I think, and I think that that's exciting. I think that the pilot is really neat, and people are excited with the looks, like the first looks that have been coming for the upcoming shows. I just hope it's good.
I have it on my DVR. I haven't watched yet,
but
I will.
It's very fun, and I think Melissa Benoist is...
Great.
Incredible.
Benoist? I thought it was Benoist.
I've heard it pronounced Benoist.
I know, I'm kidding.
She's super nice, too. I mean,
She's super nice, guys.
No, I had...
She also super cool and I had, super dreamy.
I had four scenes in the pilot, and it was cut down to one. Now, granted, it's one line, I should say. But granted, I can understand where my character wasn't quite as important as Toby the office worker, as, you know, Vartox the bad guy, or Hank Henshaw, and the whole...
Ben,
like,
this isn't a therapy session, you know, okay? This is Guilty Movie Plus.
And Callista Flockhart's awesome.
She's
too.
Great.
Callista Flockhart.
She's so good on the show.
Best.
Anyways, I could talk about Supergirl
okay.
all day.
We are back to the actual show, which is called Guilty Movie Pleasures.
Yes.
And I was conned into watching Freddy versus Jason.
And you were pleasantly
this is
surprised.
This is our Halloween episode. We should have maybe worn Halloween stuff, but it gives a shit because I'm not a big Halloween person. Clark wore her Halloween.
I wore my Jason Voorhees necklace.
There it is. See, I thought that was like
a Mardi Gras.
It looks
like a heart, too.
I know, that was a friend of mine gave this. And I almost wore my glow-in-the-dark Friday the 13th sweater from Mondo.
Ooh!
But why didn't you wear that?
Because it would be really hot.
Oh, okay,
it's like one of those sweaters that's like, it's like a Cosby sweater.
Oh, nice.
I needed to get, I wanted to buy the replica of Freddy's glove, and I don't have it, though. But if I had that.
I had a hockey mask. In high school, because I played hockey on rollerblades.
On rollerblades?
Yeah,
street hockey.
Hockey.
No, it was roller hockey. We played it inside of like a rink, but it was on rollerblades. I'm a pretty big deal, guys.
We all know that.
I just was at Clark's house watching Freddy versus Jason because I don't own a copy of it, nor is it on Netflix, nor should it be.
Hey!
I'm kidding. I actually, listen, I don't like scary movies. Everybody out there knows that. Clark sat behind me in the visit, the press screening. I screamed out loud multiple times. I held
hilarious.
On to Tiffany Smith like it was, I mean, like it was my mom teaching.
Where does this come from?
I don't know. I don't like to be
jumped. Has it always been this way?
Yes, my whole life. I don't like jumpy things. I don't like scary things. I don't go to haunted houses. I don't go to horror nights. I don't care if it's like a kid's haunted house. If there's a kid jump, I don't want to go to it. Okay?
It's so funny though because like the whole point of comedy is that you're surprised by something. And the fact that you don't like horror, it's the exact same thing.
It is not the same thing.
It is
thing.
The exact same thing.
It's the other side of the same coin.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
Thank you, Ben.
Yes. Because instead of going, ha ha, you're going, oh, shit!
It's the same release. It's exactly
same thing.
The same.
But comedy doesn't keep you up at night thinking that a man with a hockey mask is going to stab you in the face with a machete.
You know what? But I want to know, I'm going to say my history with horror, and then I want to know Clark's, because I have a feeling hers is a little bit longer than mine.
Mm-hmm.
Because I actually was the same way you were as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I would get super freaked out by anything scary. I never watched anything. The first scary movie I ever watched was Scream, and I watched it in the daytime with all the lights on with a bunch of friends, and that opening still scared the shit out of me when Drew Barrymore's getting terrorized.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Scream?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, you kind of had to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But,
I don't know your life.
Like, Scream, I don't want your life.
That was the intro to it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's where something like that, you should know that you can laugh and be scared in the same movie, and that's such an awesome ride. That's such a fun way to go.
The first horror movie I ever saw, I was at...
Not Be Murdered While Laughing. And being scared. I said, fun way to go. That sounded really ominous.
Ben and Matt Scott's house, I think I was 8, and they put on Children of the Corn.
Oh, God.
And I didn't sleep. And we lived near cornfields. I never wanted to go anywhere near cornfields. I don't want to see children near corn. A dude named Micah. I meet a guy named Micah, I'm like, dude, you're evil.
Harvest,
you're an evil person.
So harvest festivals are just your nightmare, where it's like kids planting cornfields and pumpkin patches. You're like, dude, no.
My brother asked me a couple weeks ago, hey, we're going to the pumpkin patch with the kids. You should come up. And I was like, hold on, another call coming in.
Oh, my God.
No way. No friggin' way.
That's so funny.
Nope.
They sell sunflowers and, like, tomatoes there.
Nope. They also sell the souls of the dead. Okay, Clark, what about you? You're a horror freak. You love this kind of stuff.
Have you been this since like a kid, or when did it start?
So,
when was the genesis of it?
For me, when I was little, I
killed my parents and I was in an insane asylum.
I thought Lizzie Borden had a great idea.
Yeah.
No, I was always really, really drawn to things that scared me, but similarly, was a huge scaredy cat, like really afraid. And so when I was a kid, I was traumatized by babysitters who like showed me Stephen King's It, the miniseries. When I was 5, and that scared the crap out of me. But when I was younger, I gravitated toward more like dark fantasy, like Legend or Labyrinth Willow, Dark Crystal.
Yeah,
like
Dark Crystal's terrifying.
Lots of Tim Burton stuff, like Beetlejuice. And then when I got into, I was scarred for life again when I was probably 12, and we did a Halloween sleepover and watched Carrie, followed by The Exorcist.
Oh.
And what's interesting is that at the time, especially, like, I have no religious affiliation, none of that. So The Exorcist scared me simply because it's such a visceral, scary movie. But anyway.
I've only seen it once and I can never watch
it
again.
Are you serious?
It's so scary. It freaks, demon stuff freaks me out. And that movie, Exorcist, really bugged me. I was like, this is amazing, but I can't do it.
Oh, fascinating.
Anything that says based on true events, like that movie The Strangers? No.
That's like never true either.
I don't know, it's based on an amalgam of crime. I don't know that.
But you know, it's funny for our viewers out there, Ben and I first met because we were co-starring in a horror short together.
It's coming out this week.
Which comes out this week on Crypt TV, which
it's called
is very
Where
exciting.
Are You? And
it's
and
really
Chelsea
cool.
Stardust directed it.
Chelsea Stardust is what's up. But yeah, so when I got into high school,
is that our Is that Italian? What's Stardust?
She's related to Ziggy.
Yeah, okay. She's Ziggy's granddaughter.
Stardust's granddaughter.
She's a spider.
But anyway, when I got into high school, I really got into horror because it got less scary. And then when I was in college, I studied it. So like politics and horror.
So you would like invite a dude over, you'd be like, come watch a horror movie with me.
And then he's the one freaked out. Exactly. Like, come on, you wuss.
Yeah. Like, no, yeah, nobody ever tried that on me. I think because they knew.
I wonder. Oh my God. And we'll get to the movie, I promise. But does it have a residual effects on you still? Cause even though I'm not freaked out by horror movies, or I get freaked out during them, and then I can usually forget about them, but I was staying in a cabin in the woods next to my aunt's place when I went for my cousin's wedding. And during the middle of the night, I heard something that was like a scream, and I freaked out. I couldn't go back to sleep, and then it just turns out that my uncle makes really loud, weird snoring noises that sound like banshees sometimes. Well, he just like a... and Renee woke me up and was like, what was that? It came from outside. And here it came from the other room, but... It was even scarier because we didn't have the key to lock the deadbolt, so I jimmied a chair in there and stacked stuff on it.
In the morning,
everybody wakes up, they're like, what happened here?
Oh my God.
Well, my Uncle Leroy was going, scared the
of course his name is Leroy as well.
He's the greatest.
Well, I have extreme night terrors. I don't sleep well at night, and they're escalated by alcohol, and I like to drink, so that doesn't help. I just think like horror movies in general, if they're sitting in my subconscious,
right?
Like, okay, perfect example. Last night, I parked my car a little bit away from my apartment because I knew how to be up early, and there was street cleaning on the one side. So I get out of my car, and the first thing that pops in my brain is like, Freddy vs. Jason. One of them's coming. Something's going to come around the corner.
Freddy vs. Josh.
Yeah, exactly.
But see, that to me, it's more like if you're like, oh man, I hope this stalker guy isn't, or maybe somebody followed me home and they're going to kill me, but not Freddy.
Well, yeah, I don't, the slasher thing never really got me. It was always supernatural stuff that got me because, you know, the idea behind supernatural things is that they can follow you places. Yep. Like, you cannot escape a ghost or a demon or something that wants you. Like, it's going to come. And with the guy who's got the, you know, knife and the mask, it's like, well, just don't be there and you will be okay.
And I always feel like slasher films, even the best of them, I mean, aside from the first Halloween movie, which has some genuine scares in it, most slasher films, I've been marathoning the Friday the 13th movies, most of them are just so campy and fun.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of slasher films that are actually, like, genuinely, like, holy shit, the entire time. It's more kind of like a ride where you're laughing one minute, then tense the next, and then...
I think what interested me when I was watching Freddy vs. Jason was that when we were watching the beginning, we saw boobs, and then Clark was like, a lot of these movies have a lot of boobs. And I was like, well, maybe I should revisit
maybe
the collection.
Maybe I can get into this.
Maybe this is my type of
that's
movie.
The funny... I think we should get into the movie.
Yeah, we
that's
should.
The funniest opening ever when she's like... whatever his name is. Like, Brian.
No, his name is Mike.
Mike. Oh, Mike.
Like Michael Myers.
Yeah.
And then she does
Mike.
And then she does this, and
hey,
she
Mike.
Has the weird, like, they're so fake.
Oh,
everybody
so fake.
In this movie has such
fake. Okay.
Anyways.
The back of the Blu-ray here says, A Fright to the Death. The Slicer versus the Slasher. Two titans of terror going at it. Mano a machete. They're
Did
gonna
you really say that?
Yeah, they're gonna kill each other a lot. Dude, come on. This is Pulitzer Prize winning.
In a world where Freddy and Jason are going to kill each other a lot.
I feel like there's no better way to sum up this movie.
No, exactly.
That person needs to get an award for best description of a
incredible
movie ever.
Just incredible. And I will say, I mean, you guys have obviously, what was the first time you
saw it? I saw it in theaters. I was there opening night. We were cheering. We were laughing.
We were too. Yeah.
Because it's so ridiculous. You can tell the filmmakers were just having fun. And we have several sound clips that prove that this movie does not take itself seriously.
What year did this come out?
2003. I was a junior in college.
Yeah, junior in college as well.
Oh, man, I was in high school.
Yeah,
do we know when it came out in 2003? Was it like right around October?
It was like a summertime movie.
Oh, it was a summertime movie?
Because I was out... I was out here visiting, and I saw it with friends out here, and we all went nuts for it.
Yeah. Now, the Macuga family doesn't go see horror movies in the theater, nor really...
So you hadn't seen it until today?
This morning.
That's awesome.
10 minutes before we
walked
into the studio.
We literally just watched it.
Yeah. And she was like, it wasn't that bad. I was like, yeah, it wasn't that bad.
No, totally.
I wasn't scared.
Glad the lights are on.
Yeah. had I been watching this at night, I would have been a little more holding on to Clark's dog.
Also, according to Josh, this movie stars Amanda Seyfried, Miles Teller, Rachel McAdams. Like, Josh was like...
I was like, who is it?
That's
Miles Teller.
I actually thought it was Miles Teller at first because I was like, wait, no. That's the other guy that looks like Miles Teller.
I felt like I needed to tell him that there are no future Oscar nominees or winners in this, unfortunately.
Jason Ritter's in it, right?
Yeah.
Jason Ritter.
Parenthood.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
Love
he's
bug.
So adorable.
That Jason Ritter.
He is Mark. A dreamy, dreamy guy. Okay, well, let's do the movie plot in under 3 minutes.
Okay.
Four.
Who's starting?
Three. Clark.
Oh.
Two. One, go.
Okay, Freddy's really mad because he wants to come back and kill kids, so he decides to trick Jason into scaring the kids who live on Elm Street.
By pretending to be his mom.
By pretending to be his mom. With a great cameo by the woman who actually played Pamela Voorhees, which is super cool.
Yeah.
So then the plan starts to work.
Voorhees.
Kids start to get murdered. They start to believe in Freddy, but she has a boyfriend, long-lost boyfriend, who went into an asylum, and they're taking Hypnosil, not to be confused with Timosil.
Not to be confused with Vagisil.
There's a lot of sills. So so they're taking this drug that suppresses their memory or suppresses their dreams, and this is how. Oh, and the people in the town have decided that they're never going to talk about Freddy.
Yep.
They've wiped him from the record, so that they know that's going to give him
power. Because it only affects kids. Adults can't have dreams of Freddy, right?
Exactly. It's only
what's the
kids.
Age cutoff?
I don't know.
I think it's 18, like 20. Really?
Maybe 25-year-olds that are...
Dreams.
What if it's 25-year-olds that are playing 18-year-olds? Does that count?
I think
that's pretty much
the
cutoff.
Yeah, that's exactly
25-year-old actors playing 18 is the cutoff
got
of Freddy.
So all the kids
reunite, and they decide that they're going to try and survive Freddy and Jason. And
they realize that Freddy's the Jason's the lesser of two evils.
Yes.
Right.
That they need Jason to fight Freddy, but they need to bring Monica Keena's character Lori, a.k.a. like Lori in Halloween.
Amanda Seyfried.
Still not.
Monica Keena from Entourage and other things. So then they figure out that she figures out when he's attacking her in the dream that she pulled like his ear off and brought his ear back with her. And she's like, we can bring him here and Jason can fight him and kill him here.
Right.
So then they have this, they tranquilize Jason.
Freddy tranquilizes Jason.
Yes.
Dressed as
the stoner kid.
The stoner kid.
He possesses him as this creepy, weird, like Cheshire cat, caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
And then he tranquilizes Jason. And they're fighting in the dream world in this amazing, like, pinball machine fight sequence.
I love that sequence.
Then Monica Keena goes in there and drags Freddy back into the real world. And
it's on.
And then Jason comes, and Jason's already in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then obviously they go to an area by a campground where...
Camp Crystal Lake.
They Camp Crystal Lake.
Because they're trying to return Jason back to where
to
he,
the lake.
To his watery grave.
And so they get the...
you got this.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
So they're back and they're fighting. And obviously there's random gas tanks everywhere.
Yeah,
obviously. And there's a flamethrower, of course. And Freddy and Jason are going at it. And the thing says, they kill each other a lot. They're freaking
MMA machete. Style, just knees to the chest. Stab.
Ripping out. And then finally, the creme de la creme is so then they blow up. Everybody blows up, but it's not bad. 10 seconds. And then they're like fighting. And then they're in the water. And then out of the water comes Jason with Freddy's hand through the stomach. Freddy's hand. Ah! They're both dead. And then cut to the end of the movie. Jason's walking. And I got Freddy's head and he winks. Then it'll be over.
I love the fact that you had so much time to talk about so little of a movie, and somehow you still let your head explode.
Oh, man. That got intense. I always get, real sweaty at the end of this.
Oh, my God.
Because I thought we set you up. I thought I was like, oh, Makuga's going
to
have,
he literally has to talk about the last scene.
All you have to do is
just
say they fought, and then he shoves a hand through him, and then the head. And then somehow it became a minute. It was amazing. Oh, I'm so glad you. Glad you still brought it home in the manic way you always do. I was worried
the Clark Movie Pleasure fans. They
Clark
need
did
to know.
The best job of anyone I've ever seen on this because, including us ever.
Well, Clark's a professional. She's a seasoned veteran.
She knew Hypnosil. I would have never. Put that
well,
in there.
We both joked about Hypnosil because
a lot.
Wow.
It was ridiculous. But also to be fair, and thank you, I'll take the compliment.
Yes.
However, not a whole lot of plot.
Yeah.
She's not a whole lot.
To run
through. I mean, it hits the ground running.
Yeah.
And I do have to say that, because so Josh had never seen this movie before. I gave him a brief rundown. Okay, who's Freddy? Who's Jason? Fine. Mm-hmm. Basic mythology. But once the movie started, they knock that out real fast.
It's such a
exposition
great,
so fast.
It's such a great way that they show all the best kills from the Nightmare on Elm Street series. And
welcome to primetime, bitch.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it's so
and the,
cool.
I mean, they start killing people right off the bat. You know what I always love about, the thought of, of these kids dying is that they go to school the next day and they're like, oh, we lost Eric and Trevor. And they're like, crap, let's go to science. And then like, everybody keeps dying. What is that? Like, they
we should go to a party in the middle of a cornfield. That's the
That scene is remarkable so many ways.
I'll be honest. Had I seen this movie back in like grade school and people were like, we're going to go have a rave in the field. I'm like, why don't we just go to like a gym?
Why don't we never go to a cornfield?
Yeah, ever.
Ever.
This movie does something that a lot of slasher films don't do as well. That a lot of films take, they do something cool in the beginning, and then they take like an hour to do something else, and then they kill it. That's what I'm noticing in the Friday the 13th movies now that I'm marathoning them, is it's like one kill, then like an hour of really boring setup with characters you don't give a shit about, and then they all
just
get murdered
have
in the last
characters.
They all get murdered in the last 20 minutes. And this movie does a really good job of just
spreading
killing the shit out
of
people. And not to shamelessly plug the Funhouse Massacre, but that was like our goal in that, was to put a bunch of, just like you said,
kills, a shit ton of characters, and a kill, 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 kill.
Because that's what you, when you come to see a slasher film, and I think even the Friday the 13th remake did a good job of that, even though it wasn't a perfect movie. It was still fun because it was like, throughout, it was just relentless. And this movie's a relentless slasher film. It's like the Final Destination movies, where it's just littered with crazy death scenes. And that's what you come to see. You don't care about Monica Keena and her dad's storyline, but you need something to keep you.
And the dad kind of, like I said, the dad kind of looked like Robert Englund.
Yeah, he did.
You know, it was one of the funnier things was how awkward that one girl looked smoking a cigarette and drinking a beer.
Catherine Isabel, who is like horror.
She plays Lori in the movie?
No, she plays.
She plays the best friend with the.
I forget her name.
Oh, wait, is Lori Monica Keena?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so she plays the best friend who's the slut who gets banged, and we see her boobs.
Yeah, Catherine Isabel plays that character.
Right,
and her hat says loose on it. Did you notice
that? Yeah, which her boyfriend says the most romantic thing after sex. Can you play sound cue F?
Oh, my God.
Babe, you know I don't like to be touched after, okay?
Ben, I don't... Listen, okay. Here's the
thing. A dickhead. They said that guy is a walking douchebag stereotype. That's it. The entire movie, he's just
now, you guys
asshole.
Know I love Chipotle, okay? And I eat a lot when I go to Chipotle. I mean, a lot.
I mean,
sometimes I get the burritos are so big, sometimes I have to double wrap them. And I'll be in the car, and maybe I'll have taken a date there, because let's be honest, there's nothing more romantic than
Chipotle. You're right.
Yeah. And I'll be in the car, and she'll go to touch my hand, and I'll just say straight to her,
babe, you know I don't like to be touched.
Yeah.
Ever, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the legit truth.
You know, I get really sweaty when I work out.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I ever did the Insanity workout by Sean T.
Yeah.
And
Shanti, get those knees up.
Get those knees up. Come dig deeper. Yep. And I was just laying in a pool of my sweat on the ground after the 25-minute workout or whatever. And my wife comes over, and she just tries to hand me a glass of water just to be very sweet. And I'm just snippy with her, like,
babe, you know I don't like to be touched after, okay?
Yep.
And then I apologized and dabbed off and high-fived her.
Good job. Clark?
Yeah, no, totally.
Because you were telling me before we came in you had a...
Yeah, no, I do. I have this... I have this thing where God, I've been spending the last 30 seconds trying to come up with something.
Don't worry. Anything will be better than what I just said.
So
I usually set the bar really low for everybody.
No, well, you know, I'm like really close to my dog is like my partner. You know?
Yeah,
he's
sure.
like my, I'm really like Rufus. He's like my little go-to guy.
Her dog's name is Rufus.
My dog's name is Rufus.
Rufus!
Yeah. Oh, that's why people were saying is Rufus coming on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
They meant...
They met my dog, Rufus, because he's a little gentleman.
Yeah.
And, you know,
he's a regal beast.
Sometimes I like to watch Netflix, you know, for hours and hours on end.
Who doesn't?
And I wouldn't say I like to eat Chipotle the whole time, but, you know, some of the time.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I look up and it's Saturday night at 11:30 and I feel like I have accomplished so much. And my dog comes over and he starts to nuzzle me and I just say to him,
babe. You know I don't like to be touched after, because
if you, especially when you've been watching Narcos, you feel
a little
like,
dirty.
Respect my space.
Give me a minute to digest this,
yes,
Rufus.
Yes.
Now this does lead into my favorite kill of the entire movie,
which
is this scene after she goes and showers.
Yeah.
I swear, Ronnie, you got a crane for Christmas because half of the shots are
that's
just,
what I was just saying.
Looking down. Half the movie is shot from super high and above, but. This is the first kill is probably my favorite, where he gets stabbed like 900 times with a machete, and then you think it's done, and his beard's shaking in his hand, and then the bed, Jason just finishes him off like a Mortal Kombat fatality. And then he just bends in half. It's so awesome.
And she comes out and screams. And they're like, what happened? And they come in and they're like, oh, they did the posturepedic adjustable bed, but it went crazy. Yeah, that's the best kill.
And then,
sure.
And then she comes running out and the deputy's like, miss, what's good? Do you need help? She's like, what the fuck do you think? Yeah. She's covered in blood. That's when you know you can't take this movie seriously and that they're just going to have a batshit crazy ride.
Here's what I would want. If I was going to write or do, because Clark, you should write a horror movie. Obviously, you have written a horror movie. Whatever. You should write, because all I want in a horror movie is like I said, okay, start with like 20 best friends going like on a trip together in a party bus so that everybody's like established. There's the jock, the pretty one, all the other races. There's like the smart one.
All the other races.
Like every race, every girl, guy, there's 20 characters. So you are invested in them right off the bat, right? And then each kill just escalates to the point where the 19th kill of the movie is like helicopter blade thrown into a wood chipper and then stabbed a bunch of times and then eaten by a
Josh
raccoon.
Josh McCuga, I have a recommendation for you. It's called The Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, fantastic. I like that movie. Fantastic. I did like that
very
one. Because somebody told me it was a comedy.
It is. Yeah. And, you know, but
it escalates a little scared. To awesomeness.
Yeah.
It does. And talk about going crazy
the
end.
The last 20 minutes of the film is probably my favorite ending to any movie ever.
Yeah. It's so great.
That is a great movie. But this one, like you said, like the deaths are just the same. It's just machete, machete, machete. But who knew that Jason Voorhees, does he have superpower in all of the movies? Because he is really strong.
It's mm-hmm. weird because yes and no. Mm-hmm. And because in the first one, it's his mom, obviously. Right. And then the second and third one, he's kind of more just like a lanky dude that has a hood mm-hmm. on. He has mm-hmm. like a pillowcase on or a burlap sack. And then the next one, he puts on a hockey mask. He gets a little stronger, but not quite yet. And then the fourth one is when they really started kicking it up, where it's like,
because he can rip off people's heads.
Yeah. No, he's superpower. Because the third, I was reading up online where it was supposed to end with the third one. It was just going to be a trilogy, and then it made so much money that they made a fourth one, and then it was supposed to end there, but that made so much money they just kept making more. So each one they just had to kind of up the stakes more and more and make it. And just like Halloween was supposed to end with Halloween 2. And then that's why Halloween is 3 is Season of the Witch and something completely different. Right. And then each movie, they just get more and more powerful and more they're just indestructible. Nothing can kill them.
Well, obviously,
ever.
Because the one got his own hand thrown through his body and then his face was winking at the end of the movie.
I loved that ending when it happened, and now knowing that they'll probably never do another Freddy versus Jason really pisses me off.
Just make a whole quintuple series.
I just was at a Q&A with Robert Englund, and he was talking about, you know, how originally it was planned to be Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
Oh, yeah. And that would have been amazing. They made a comic book of it.
And there were, actual drafts of the script that Robert had read, and you know, he was talking about some little details, and I was like, man, this would be so
awesome.
Cool. And then they always talked about throwing Michael Myers in there somehow, some way, but he doesn't really fit in because he kind of doesn't really. I feel like Michael Myers is antisocial.
Michael Myers would just hang back against the wall. He'd be the wallflower until one of them kills the other, then he'd walk up and go, and then the movie would end, and he'd be like, wait, what,
Mike? God,
Michael.
What other sound clips do we have?
We got some good ones. Oh.
You kids need some assistance.
That's the intro to the deputy.
Can we play that again real quick, Jonathan?
You kids need some assistance.
Now, I know targets really, really well. Like, mm-hmm. I'm very good in Target. And
what an odd thing to be.
No, I am. If you go into a Target, I know where shit is in all the aisles. I'm like, you gotta go down there. I just know where I am in all the Targets. Where your directions? I don't even look at the signs. I'm like, close over here.
Even though they rearrange almost every single one,
I'm like a Target savant.
As long as you have to have been in the Target before.
No. I could walk into Target in the middle of Nebraska and be like,
what about the multi-floor Targets?
Oh, I know what's upstairs, downstairs. Don't you worry about it. I even know where the best place is to park in relation to how long you have to put your cart into one of those cart returns, because nobody does that, but I am a stickler about that.
I am too.
Regardless. Okay. I'm in a Target. This is about 2 weeks ago, and it was crazy. It was like a Saturday at the Target in West Hollywood. There's lines everywhere. And I was in a hurry. I was in a hurry. I needed to get out of there. All I had was mouthwash and a toothbrush. Okay. That's all I needed to buy. And there's 9 families. They're buying like 13 mirrors, an air conditioner, a microwave, whatever. I'm like, I need to get in the front of the line. And this woman can see I'm getting a little antsy. And she comes up to me and she says,
you kids need some assistance.
And that's what I screamed right back.
What the fuck do you think?
Yeah, I screamed. And in that high voice, too.
Yeah.
What the fuck do you think? That's what I screamed.
Yeah, totally.
Because I was angry.
I I don't want to continue on with this because there's more sound clips that I'm very excited about.
And you thought
about.
That was too long.
And I know you have a hard out, so I want to get to some other
Damn,
stuff.
That we was can one extend it to.
Oh, wait, you have to
story.
Go, Clark, go, Clark, go, Clark, go, Clark,
yes,
go,
Clark,
go,
Clark, go, Clark, go, Clark,
go, Clark. Well, okay, Clark. So Josh knows this about me. I don't know if you know this about me, but I like to play golf, and
I didn't know that.
Oh, well, I'm not very good yet. Josh is very good. We've played together. We've gone to the driving range before. And, you know, sometimes when I go by myself, people just like they. When you're a lady and you're there, they want to talk to you. And
you're a lady,
like
you
at
look
the gym,
like Clark Wolf.
No, and you know, I just want to go and practice. Mm-hmm. I just want to focus. So one day, I decided if anybody talks to me, if anybody tries to tell me how to hold my golf club, I'm just gonna, you know, if they come up to me and they say,
"You kids need some assistance."
Hey, leave me alone!
Yes,
and
see?
Then they're like, "Oh, okay."
Finally.
You should have that programmed on your phone.
I should
to
just play it.
Let's yep. go. Leave
me alone. Fuck that! Fuck.
Now, there's this entire movie's a guilty movie pleasure.
Yes,
we can all agree on that. My favorite.
It's very convenient.
Yeah, my two favorite scenes that I want to make sure we cover before you go are. The cornfield scene.
Yes.
So
is
good.
Out of this world amazing.
Yeah.
And then obviously the two smackdowns.
Mm-hmm.
But the cornfield scene is so great because they've just had, how many people now? They've had the kid with the folding bed. They've had the dad where he touches his dad and the dad's head hops off like it's on a spring. Like the effects guy was just like, bing, and it goes like leaps off.
And then blood goes.
He just touches him and the head leaps off. It leaps off like it was like, "Ha! Hey, you startled
this
me!"
This might sound really morbid. I know this is going to sound extremely morbid, but I want to see a head get chopped off and arms get chopped off to see how much blood actually spurts out.
In real life?
Yeah.
You could probably go on YouTube.
You probably could
that.
See that. Yeah, you could.
And by the way, I love how I'm the one who is obsessed with blood. I do not want to
because
watch
it. Because I want to see accuracy. I may not be obsessed with horror, but
right,
I want to see
CSI
accuracy.
You know what's going to happen after you see that?
CSI Miami.
After you see that actual accuracy, anytime you see it in movies, you're going to be like, oh.
Yeah. Because is it a Quentin Tarantino Kill Bill?
Ooh.
Is it
no
like
I think
one?
It's more like a slow ow like a hacking. It's not, you can't just cut somebody clean off.
Oh yeah, you can't.
That's why it gets very brutal.
Josh is like, I can
I work out
back to the
cornfield.
And not your obsession with seeing people being macheted.
True.
There's some amazing kills in this. So they had the dad with his head lopping jumping off his body. Then the kid kills himself.
Yeah.
So they think they make reference to it being a Columbine type thing where he killed the other guy and then killed his dad and killed himself.
Uh-huh.
Makes no sense. They always make these giant leaps of logic in horror films. And then the best way to forget about all this is to go to a secluded field in the middle of nowhere
and rave
with glow sticks.
Lots of glow sticks.
That one rapey guy had glow sticks all over him.
Rapey McGlow Stick Man, that guy. He's so creepy. Because, okay, so loose girl, girl with the loose hat, she passes out and she's getting attacked by Freddy in a dream, chased by him. And then Rapey McGlow Stick Man comes around. And, you know, of course, because he has so many glow sticks on, his main goal in life is to wear glow sticks and find passed out women in the field. And it's just so, it's such a weird
scene
where you're like, you're like, that's what's going to happen right now?
And it's just so casually tossed in.
Yeah.
Like, it's
that's
just
what
like,
I hate about
the kid, like, the kid killing and the, because that's Freddy's thing, and this Rapey McRape thing is very, very tossed aside. Like, it's like, well, hey, listen, you're in a field.
Yeah. You're in a field, you pass out at a rave. It's a cautionary tale, kids.
Kids.
But then Freddy's about to kill her in the dream, and then she just explodes with blood because Jason has shoved a giant pole through him
and
her. And then he flings the dude
just
like
whoosh.
Like 100 feet in the air.
You know
it's
what?
Unbelievable.
If Ronnie Yu got a crane for Christmas, he got those pole things for Hanukkah because people go flying like they're in the Matrix.
So
awesome. Just awesome. That
it's
was
so
great.
Good.
And there's a great line of a fat kid in a field. Now, if anybody out there has had Everclear, they know it's not very good for
you.
And
it's poison.
And
it's 190 proof.
It's, well, yeah, it's pure alcohol.
Yeah, it's grain alcohol.
It's grain alcohol. And if you know, we rode the grain train in college. You put grain alcohol in a cooler, a bunch of Kool-Aid mix, and ice. You're like, this doesn't taste. I can't even taste it. Done.
Yeah. He's drinking a pitcher of this.
Pitcher of Everclear. And this
and
is what
this
he says
is what
to
he
me.
Says.
This Everclear is kicking my ass.
Why does he say it so proper, too?
Listen, man. He doesn't even, he's not even drunk.
No, no. It's like.
But he's a fat guy, so like he can ingest a little more Everclear than the normal.
Everclear, can I hear that again?
Yeah.
This Everclear is kicking my ass.
When we saw that in theater,
kind of sounds Shakespearean.
The entire theater erupted with laughter because we were like, what the fuck?
Doth Everclear doth kick this my ass.
Methinks the Everclear doth protest too much in my belly. It's so good. And then Jason comes up and he's like, oh, look at this dude. And then he turns into like making fun of him, like, oh, you ain't any, there ain't any more pigs to fuck out here. And then the other guy's like, we don't need anybody around here like you. They just choose the weirdest voices. And then hack, hack. He's running. Jason gets caught on fire because he pours Everclear all over
him. And then lights up that cornfield.
By the way, that stunt actor had to have been on fire for like an entire day on and off. Because that goes on forever.
That's brutal.
And then if you notice when the fat guy's running, he's clearly has fake blood already in his mouth in the shot before and the shot where he gets stabbed. Because he's running and they ADR over like he's screaming. But he's like, but his mouth's going... And then
he's a ventriloquist screamer.
A fiery machete comes through him, and he just spurts out the tiniest amount of blood. It's like, that's why I was like, if you're gonna ruin a take by making it look like your mouth's full of blood, don't make it.
Well,
be like,
his mouth is really full of Everclear because why?
This Everclear is kicking my ass.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys know, I'm a huge fan of the '90s rock.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was at a concert. It was called the Surge Fest, if you guys remember Surge Cola back in the day.
I was at a party that had Surge 2 nights ago.
What? Yeah. Is it back?
No, my friend finds it for his Halloween party every year.
Oh, my God.
So and you know what? And I'm not kidding. His name's Micah.
Oh, God. I don't want to meet this person. So I'm at Surge Fest, and I had a few surges. I may have brought in a couple of adult beverages to mix with my surge, and Everclear was the lead. They were the headliner of Surge Fest, and I turned to my friend, just drunk and so excited, when they started jamming, and I turned to him and I said,
"This Everclear is kicking my ass."
And they were kicking some serious ass.
I have no idea how to do an improv game with such a specific
Well,
thing.
I think I just took the only one.
You took
that's
the
possible.
Only one.
You did,
that,
I think.
That scene is amazing, because then everybody erupts with screams when the dude gets stabbed, and then Jason, like you said, there's just a bunch of people, he just starts hacking.
He's walking deading them.
And now, from this moment forward, Freddie's like, fuck that, you're stealing all my kids, which we were talking about before the show, how, correct me if I'm wrong, because you've seen the Nightmare on Elm Street movies as well, we were talking about how Freddie, he got more, that they turned up the evil stuff about kids even more in this movie, and like the sexual stuff, to clearly make him the antagonist, and they definitely make you sympathize more with Jason, even though Jason is a mass murderer, and the body count for Jason is way
like
more
Jason.
Than Freddy.
Yeah, Jason.
But
in this movie,
they make Jason the kind of like the puppet.
My dad made me do it.
But you have to make one of
you
them.
You have to, because otherwise you're not rooting.
Have you guys seen Alien versus Predator?
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's
excellent.
Alien versus Predator Requiem is better.
It's excellent.
Alien versus Predator Requiem is so
Clark,
good.
Clark doesn't have many adjectives that go. Excellent. Alien versus Predator is excellent. No. Braveheart is excellent. Alien vs. Predator is decent.
Braveheart is a guilty movie pleasure.
What?
I don't know.
Braveheart?
Clark? We'll get into it later.
I want to know the comparison, though, between... Did they sympathize one of...
So the Predator... the alien is a dick. And it's the Predator who becomes the lesser of two evils, and the lady who is the final girl, who is also from Broadway. She was in Caroline or Change, right?
Yeah, I think. Kristen Chenoweth?
No.
Nadine Menzel?
No. That's Wicked. Oh. But anyway, she teams up with the Predator.
That's right. Yeah.
In order to defeat the alien.
Like
and it's like a buddy comedy.
They run off in slow motion as it's exploding in the end, like a Lethal Weapon movie. It's fantastic.
Nice.
We should watch that.
See? Excellent.
AVP?
Excellent.
Okay, well, I guess we're going to have to do another Clark Wolf edition of Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
bring
Cause, but you're right. I mean, if I had one I prefer, I always love the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. Robert Englund is so awesome.
And they're better movies.
And they're better. Nightmare on Elm Street are way... Even the craziest ones that kind of dip into, like, when they had the rotoscope 3D glasses at the end, that's how she defeats him, and you have to watch in 3D, too. Even when it goes to Crazy Town, it's still better than the Friday the 13th movies. But I see how in this one... the writers are like, well, he did kill a lot of kids, and Jason just kind of only fucks with you if you come in his area.
Plus, we are in an era when this movie comes out where Freddy has gotten scary again, because as we were talking about off mic, you know, Freddy sort of, over the course of the movies, he was always kind of funny, but he kind of turned into a clown.
Yeah.
And then with New Nightmare, which I think works probably better as a standalone movie, like you were saying, like we were talking
almost
about.
Almost like a total reboot.
Kind of, but they do make Freddy really legitimately
that
scary
opening
again.
Where he gets like chopped up by the claw is terrifying.
So, I like to think of his glove as jazz razor blades.
Jazz blades. But no, I think I've always loved Freddy, and I think that they're all fun. I think it goes for me the first one, Dream Warriors, and then New Nightmare, and then Freddy versus Jason.
So mine goes,
and then the other
ones
fall into some kind of
everything else.
I had no idea. Well, Clark Wolf, thank you for being on the show
today. Thanks for having me, guys.
We'll bring you back for Alien vs. Predator as well.
I wish we could have done a live watch of the fight scene.
Of what fight scene?
I've had the fight scene video, but we can't. Can we do 2 minutes, or do you got to go?
I don't think we can actually show this.
Can you see this? Can they see this, John?
Yeah.
They can see this?
We can't show this, or this will get taken down.
Will it get taken down?
Yes.
All right, never mind then. It would have been awesome.
show a little bit of it.
Just show the part where he shoves the hand through the stomach.
No, that's a different fight.
I don't know where that's at.
It's the very end of this fight. Anyways, now I just derailed the entire show. You were going to do a smooth outro so you can get to your audition, and then I'm like, no way. The two beatdowns are amazing.
They are. I like the first fight better. I like the one in Freddy's Dream World better.
When he pinballs Jason around, ding, 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 and then he goes, what is it? Tilt.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, he does.
That's the thing that the new Nightmare on Elm Street was missing, is it didn't have all the quips that half the fun is Freddy's scary, and then you're laughing, and then he's scary, and then you're laughing. It's like, that's what's so fun about him. Oh, wait, it's a little bit back.
We're going to end
you with this this little moment of glee. Right here. Okay, so Freddy's gonna kill him. Oh, this is my favorite moment of the whole movie. Hit play anytime.
Hey, one second.
Okay, just kidding.
It's loading.
Standby.
Just no. He downloaded it, so it shouldn't be buffering.
Just a little promo here. Ben's movie Funhouse Massacre.
Robert Englund's in it.
Yeah.
We got Robert in it, and he is the nicest guy on the planet. By the way,
I'm sure he is.
He was great at that Q&A. Because
he's not actually Freddy Krueger.
No, he's so nice.
sorry, guys.
You can see Funhouse Massacre comes out in select AMC theaters Friday the 13th in November, and Robert Englund's going to be back in theaters on Friday the 13th in our movie.
Love it.
Ready?
Very excited. Here we go.
All right.
Freddy. Oh, we missed it. Got to back it up a little. Here we go. Yes. Uh-oh. Freddy, don't do it.
With Jason's machete. Oh!
Hand through the sternum, out through the guts on the dock of the lake where Jason...
And then Jason just...
Falls in.
With his own
backflops in there.
And that is the movie. That is Freddy vs. Jason. Guys, Clark, where can everybody find you again?
Instagram, Twitter, Periscope, at Clark Wolf. Clark with an E, Wolf with an E, and YouTube. YouTube.com/official Clark Wolf.
Clark Wolf, the queen of blood and drama and death.
I think you're the queen of blood and drama.
Okay, all right, take it easy. Ben Begley.
I'm now at the Ben Begley. I changed it, so I don't have to be funny every time.
Yeah.
And because I'm so rarely.
Your tweets are terrible.
And you can also follow the Funhouse Massacre at Funhouse Mass, and you can also look up FunhouseMassacreMovie.com. We're going to start rolling out. Hopefully a trailer tomorrow is the rumor. So,
and it's select AMC theaters. I know there's gonna be one here in LA, and I will be there supporting my best bud as much as I'll probably be scared of the movie.
I'll hold you
because I am a baby. I'm Josh McCuga at Josh McCuga on Twitter and Instagram, and I guess I'm gonna start doing Periscope because I just got peer pressured into it. you guys can see me on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/BetweenTheSheets TV. This week we had Andrew Santino on the show. Guys, next week we are. I'm not here.
We'll figure out something.
And we'll figure out something.
Maybe.
But all through November, we are going to be doing some holiday classics that aren't per se Christmas classics.
I love that. Gremlins.
Yeah.
Die Hard.
Things of that. No, those are Christmas movies. That's what we're going to do in December. We're going to do some.
Are there a bunch of Thanksgiving movies?
There's some Thanksgiving type
Home
movies.
Home for the Holidays.
Home for the Holidays. There you go.
Oh, God. We're going to talk about this.
We'll figure it out. If not, some 80s classics or maybe Airborne. Who knows? Until then, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.